This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Hey, Inguziana, Harotiana, Baruto, Shasitig, Dibiana, Gadabaruto, Shasitia, Gadabaruta, Shasana. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the hours that you have used to bring us into the quickening power of your presence. Thank you for giving us the grace, the fortitude, the ability, the enablement to pray. Thank you for drawing us closer to you. Thank you, Jesus, for the living waters that is flowing out of our bellies. Thank you. For all the wonders that we can see and experience in you. Thank you for the weather. As nations all over the world experience changes in season and in time, some places very cold, some places freezing, some places very hot. Thank you because you have made us your peace. Thank you because our territories are adapting to us. Where we are, you have made a home unto us. The elements obey us. The weather obeys us. Thank you for Australia. Thank you for the United States. Thank you for the Americas. Thank you for Europe. Thank you for Africa. Thank you, Father, for Asia. Thank you for Asia Pacific. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you glory. Thank you for all the nations and all the languages. Thank you for all the elements, because everything is working directly in our favor. Thank you for bringing us into the understanding of your word every day, giving us not only the power, but also the knowledge with which we will rule over the earth. Thank you, because when we speak to water, water listens. When we speak to fire, fire listens. When we speak to the wind, it obeys us. When we speak to the earth obeys. Thank you, because we are not strangers in the places you have placed us, where we are custodians of eternal verities. Thank you, because we have the power to control situations, circumstances, events. We have the power to channel the thoughts in the heart of men, in the heart of kings. Thank you, because we have the power to walk in dominion over all things. You give us this power. We are not some people that are living in this world and are borrowing time. We are not of those who live in this world and are slaves to this world. We were born to rule. The glory of the anointing is at work in us. And therefore, we have synesis, we have wisdom, we have practical wisdom. We have the ability to know, we have the ability to do, we have the ability to walk in the fullness of the stature of Christ. We have the ability to do the things that you desire of us to do from day one, which is that we should occupy, we should take over. We should take territories. We should rule and reign. We should dominate. Today, Father, as we learn at your feet how to occupy, what it means to have dominion, what it means to take space, as we learn, I'm praying, Father, that the eyes of the understanding of every one of us will be enlightened. None of us will say, I'm too old. None will say, I am too young. None will say, I am a woman. There is a limit to what I can do. None will say, but I'm an African, and therefore, in the placement of the races, Africans are known to be backward. None will say, "Yeah, but I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I was born poor." All our excuses, you will render them useless. You will render them useless. None will say, "Oh, I've wasted my youth. I've spent my days in the wrong business." All our garment of regret and all our hiding place where we seek succor in our failures, you will tear them apart. Because this is a class that you instructed that I teach. But as I looked at all the holes where people hide, where I also hid one time, in the hole of excuse, the corner, the blindfold, the behind the cupboard, where all of us will hide and say, I cannot come and kill myself. This government does not favor people from the Southeast. No, this government is partial to whites. No, that government, all those places, as I looked at and considered them in my heart, I said, "Lord, only you can help. Only you can teach. Only you can make every one of us realize that we are not strangers where we are. That because you carry a Nigerian passport and you live in Canada, does not make you a stranger in Canada. Where you are is the place where you must dominate. A man who has dominion, locations respect such a man. A man who has dominion, people, they accord dominion to him. He is not a nobody anywhere. It is men, it is mere men that are nobody, that will go to a country and then they will say, 'Ah, in this country, I'm a nobody.' And you know, even if it is back in Nigeria, I have people, but now I'm alone." Those are mere men. Great men who are of God, they get into a place and in no time they take it over. I declare that your children will learn, that they will give me the right words to appeal to every class of listeners today, that as they listen, they will hear beyond my words. They will hear the Holy Spirit for themselves. They will hear him speaking to their hearts. It will change their perspective. It will change their ability to understand and their ability to move. It would give them wings. They would no longer be cowed or held down by anything. They will just take over as your word has instructed. Thank you, Lord, for your word is faithful and for you are true. So in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's class. Talking today about prevailing strategy. Occupy. Occupy. One of the basic experiments that one can notice, especially if you're in Africa, is the ability of grasses to occupy. They know their territory. If you bring a tractor, if you wish, bring a bulldozer, clear a piece of land. Clear it clean. In fact, dig into it and bring out all the roots, all the everything, bring it out. Then tell yourself that this land, nothing will grow there again. Give it some days. Grasses will spring up. You will wonder why. But I removed, I eradicated all the possible. Oh, but grass walk with the wind. Their pollination comes with the air. You see, you can remove everything, but the wind is your enemy. It is only if you can stop the wind that you can stop the seed of the grass from moving. Because of that, nobody can successfully stop them from growing. Even if you make a road and you tie it, as long as you are using the road, the grass will leave you alone. The moment you stop using the road and some of the tar begin to remove, you will see the grass will come back. Why? The wind. The wind. Jesus speaking in the book of John, when he was with that Samaritan woman, those guys said, the wind goes to and fro. Nobody could discern where the wind is going to or where the wind is coming from. He said, so are those who are born of the kingdom. So are you. It means that if you understand who you are in Christ for real, it means you will know that you have the ability to be unstoppable, just like grass. No matter the war that is waged against you, you have the ability. If you build a whole palace on top of, a land and you leave it there for 20 years, you will see that grass would find a way to unseat that house. Nature will help, everything will help, and before you know it, grass will be growing everywhere. Then all sorts of stuff will start growing. Why? Because of the wind. The wind is very powerful. Don't forget this. The power of occupying for grass is not with the grass. The power of occupying for the grass is with the wind. The power of occupying for a Christian is not with the Christian. The power of occupying for a believer is with the wind, with the Holy Ghost. The power that we have to dominate is not in a person, it is in the spirit. The same way you cannot stop a grass from growing, the same way you should not be able to stop a Christian from dominating, for he operates as the wind. Virtually, if you cut him off, he will grow elsewhere. You cut him off, he will grow elsewhere. You cut him off, he will grow elsewhere. Because that is his nature. His nature is ever producing life. You said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. A person that has the abundant life means that he will perpetually, in perpetuity, continue to dominate. You cannot kill him. You cannot stop him. You cannot wage a war against him. You will lose. If you force him to a corner, you will find yourself being worn out over time. You would yield to him. There was an experiment in domination that was carried out in the last 30 years. The experiment started around 1990. There was a court case in Germany. That court case was about two women who were living together as a couple for several years, and family and friends turned their back on them because their marriage was, of course, an abomination. But the two women found a way to succeed as lawyers. And they grew old together. So one of them died. And when that one died, the family and friends decided they wanted to take the property, the wealth that that one has left behind. And this person's partner, this woman that was left behind, took them to court, citing all the males, abuses and all the things they suffered before the court, and saying that the family has no right to take the property of the deceased because they were not in the deceased's life. But even though she wasn't legally married to the deceased, she was in the deceased's life and they built their wealth together. So nobody can strip her naked in her old age because of these greedy people. And the court sat down and looked at her case. And the court decided that she has a right. The court decided that they should give her the property and that nobody should have the power to disturb her anymore. The human rights activists, they saw that court case and they decided that they were going to ride upon it and change the predominant culture in our world. They decided that they were going to build an abomination that causes desolation. That was the beginning of the LGBTQ movement. They looked at the world and they decided that they were going to change the predominant culture, change the literature, change the law, change what has been, change it. They were going to reculture the whole world. 48 of them gathered at a university in America, sociologists, psychologists, behavioral scientists. They gathered. They wanted to change how human beings think. They wanted to change the world. They were going to show the world how they should live in an inclusive reality, which would include all the dastardly, forbidden, previously forbidden way of life. So they sat down and they mapped it out. What do they need to do? They needed to change the curriculum of the school, begin to teach children a lot of things, new things. They needed to change those who are in government. They needed to put people in parliament who would support their view. They needed to get lobbyists who would buy into the idea and use money to push. They are 1% of the population, but they decided they would shake the world and change the world. Do you know that within 30 years, they literally made themselves the major news, the major event happening, the major reality that was dominating from fashion to law to politics, until they began to make laws, until they began to preach their gospel, until they began to do parades on streets of nations and cities, until they began to come up with surgeries, and they began to go into transgenderism, and they began to do all these things. And this was started by a group of people who decided that they wanted to dominate. I wanted to show you how the absurd, what God did not even plan, the absurd, how it could become the dominant force that many would write thesis about, that many would talk about, that today many would celebrate, and today many would scorn at, but it has become something that is staring us in the face. And why? Because some people decided that they were going to push the impossible. They are going to push the impossible. They had a dream to insist on wrong being right. And they are going to push it until there is a shift in everybody's mind, to the point where people begin to accept them, and to the point where we begin to see their way of life as the right way of life. These are mere men. They are not full of the Holy Spirit. They contributed money, raised funds from people like them, millions of millions of dollars, and they decided that they would change the world. And they targeted certain places, America, Europe. They realized that if they push their agenda in those two places, sooner or later, the whole world, because of the way we lean in our thinking, the whole world where the West is predominant in thinking, the whole world will then lean in that direction. So they will tell you, if you don't do what we want, we will not give you aids. We will not give you support. We would remove your government and put a new government. We would, and they decided it. And between themselves, they began. They started funding government pastorals. They started NGOs. They were employing, firing. They were coming up with laws, rules. And before you know it, in a few years, they were there. As I studied their movement, I realized something. These are people that are not full of the Holy Spirit. They do not have the power to dominate. They had the concept of an idea, and they had a system in which that they wanted to push. And they were selective in all those they would choose to lead government. They were selective in making sure that those who are Christians, who are steadfast, they kept them out of the White House. They kept them out of the places of rulership, the chancellorship of Germany. They kept them. They were deliberate. They didn't want their agenda to break. So they knew that they had to have consistent governments supporting them. And that means they had to choose leaders. They have to be the one to choose who will be the next president. They have to choose be the one to choose who will be the. So they were the one that chose Obama, and they were the one that was going to choose the last woman that ran. They were the one that chose Hillary Clinton. They were pushing that agenda. They were deliberate, and they kept Christians. Once they see that you're a fundamental Christian who has family values, who believe in one man, one woman marriage, who believe in children, who does not believe in abortion, who does not believe in all the things they believe in, they would ensure that you can be a local player. You can be a governor of your state. You can be a senator from your state, but you would never be the one to sign the executive agreements and the executive orders. You would never be the one to be in charge of funding. You would never be the one to be in charge of anything that could affect their agenda. In my country, they will say, if a lie takes off on a journey for 20 years, they will say that in one day the truth will catch up with it. We must learn how to dominate. Christians especially, we lack that cutting edge. We must learn how to occupy. Believers especially are soft. We are soft when it comes to making solid decisions that would keep the vanguard and the reality of Christ where it should be. What works for believers is our resilience. Like grass, we walk with the wind. So every time they try to plow us out, whatever, the Holy Spirit would bring our seed back. So, like I said, if it was up to us as human beings, Jesus would not meet faith on the earth. Remember when he said it? He said, "Shall I meet faith when I come?" He looked at his disciples and he said, "Hi, these guys can't occupy." He said, "They can't." He said, "You guys, you can't occupy." Which was why he gave them the Holy Spirit. He knew that without the wind, they would fail. He knew that without the Holy Ghost, Christians would become weary. Before you know it, our bleeding heart does not allow our brain to work. We have bleeding heart. Human beings are a complex of jumbled emotions that sometimes the things people do and justify, you'll be shocked. I saw a woman. Her son, she said her son was gay. Her own son. Her own, she gave birth to a boy, and the boy said he was gay. And they all agree, oh, this boy was gay. But the boy wanted to have a child, and they wouldn't allow him to adopt a child. So this mother decided that this boy should donate semen, and that she, the mother, would help her carry the baby. And I saw a US magazine celebrating it. A mother giving birth to a child for her own son, so that her son can have a child. And if you look at it, if some people will say, yeah, commendable. That is a heart of a loving mother. Some people say, that's a heart of a loving mother. That is how that you can see that she has the milk of human empathy. She saw the distress of her son and she wanted to bring the dream of her son to life. So she decided to carry the baby for her son. So she gave birth to a child and they put it on the front page of a magazine and they celebrated her for giving birth to a son for her son. That is human nature. The mother will have a son that is a thief. If they cut the son, of course she'll be crying. If they give her opportunity to change judgment, of course she will change judgment. That is human nature. You see, that's human nature. It is how we are. That's why David said that he knows our frame. He knows that we are weak. That we cannot stand firm on resolutions. That we cannot see where we are going. We cannot see how to get to where we are going. We cannot master the realities of life, which was why Jesus Christ said, ha, I do not think I'll find faith in the earth when I come. And so he decided that he was going to give us that one unique power that would keep us coming back, that nobody can stand against, that even though they try to eradicate it, they build monument to the idols, they do many things, that like wind, we will come back. So you will notice that there was a time Europe came with the gospel to Africa and Africa received the gospel. They came. And then years later, as Europe was losing, as they were losing their faith, I remember listening to the testimony of a man from Poland. And the man said, a particular denomination in Nigeria had brought church back to their city. Was talking about RCCG. Said they brought church back, that all the churches in their country was dead. And then RCCG sent one pastor, then they sent two pastors, and now they have about 10 pastors and 100 churches in Holland again, and all of them from RCCG. And I said, wow, you see how they will try to chase it out, but the wind will bring it back. I'm trying to show you something. Trying to show you the power of dominion. The power of dominion is not ordinary. And it is not in the individual, it is in the spirit. So the wind will see, okay, they are trying to build a structure here. The wind will say, okay, I'm coming. It will blow it away and then it will bring it back. And then you try, you build. The enemy will try to build the tower. They will do everything. And then the wind will say, no. Jesus is coming, blow it away, build it back. And I'm asking every one of us to begin to tap into that power from today. I've seen many pastors preaching dominion over the years, and they talk about it from a biblical perspective. God gave man power to dominate. Yeah, so you dominate. They never were able to explain how people can. So you can give me the pep talk. And so I didn't want to go that route, which was why when I was praying earlier, I asked the Holy Spirit to please give me the right words. Because there is a way that the Lord taught it to me. You must see yourself as a force that cannot be taken down, that cannot be stopped. It is not because of you. It is because of the wind that is carrying you. This is how you must see yourself. You must see this me. Look at me. Look at me. In myself, I may be just an ordinary guy. But the wind behind me is so powerful, so strong, that it is unstoppable. It is not my doing. It is how Jesus programmed it. The power of dominion is in the spirit, and that spirit is inside me and it is behind me. This is the first rule of dominion, how a believer sees himself. Any of the panelists that understand the class so far, can you please indicate by giving, show me your hand. You are following. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, I'm moving to the second part of it. I just wanted that first part to be clear, that you have to be, the believer has to be 100% convinced. This is who I am. I am unstoppable. There is nothing anybody can do about it. It is not within my power. I cannot even stop myself. I tell myself that all the time. Because the Bible says that the wind goes to and fro. You can't stop it. That is the force of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the wind. And that wind is behind me. It is within me. So no man can stop me. That is number one rule that every believer must have at the back of their mind. You must see yourself as an unstoppable force. Now, that means all your, sorry for this language, all your useless excuses of enemy is doing me, somebody is following me, somebody shot me, and somebody from my grave is controlling my life, somebody is chasing me in the dream, all those things are useless. You must automatically render those kind of thoughts useless. They are in this class today, they are telling me, man, it's fear. Fear is disturbing me. And somebody is chasing me. When I stand, my heart will do blah, and my heart will be breaking, and then my body will be shivering. See, let me tell you, you need the Holy Spirit to give you a reset. There's something they call resetting slap, right? You need it. Maybe you should give it yourself. I mean it. I'm not joking. All those excuses are where I was praying earlier. I said, they are the holes where we hide ourselves, all of us. We hide ourselves in these places. In these places of limitation. And then we say, that's how I am. No, that's not how you are. It is not a function of how you are. It is who you are. Who you are is a bearer of the wind. You know what it means to bear the wind? It means there is a wind, the wind that carries you. You cannot be stopped. That is number one. So all internal conflicts must stop. If you want to walk in dominion, internal conflicts must stop. Again, all internal conflicts must stop. You must, because you are the only one that can limit yourself here. The day the seed of the grass refuses to fly in the wind, that is the day that particular seed will die. It must always pollinate by air, and that is how it will always expand its territory. So the day the seed says, oh, I'm too tired to fly, that is the day the seed dies. The day a Christian begins to self-sabotage or continue to self-sabotage, oh, I don't have a degree. I don't have this. I don't have. I didn't graduate from the university. My father didn't say all those excuses. The day a believer puts them aside and say, hey, I remember years ago, 2008, I found myself in one crisis, one problem. When I was just about to leave the university, I got home and it was looking like I wasn't going to get my certificate after years in the university. And I remember I went to see Reverend Dr. S.O. Teller of Free Baptist Church. He sent for me. He was like a mentor, like a father to me. So he sent for me and he said, I've been following your progress. You are one of the best students in your school. You're not being through your results all the time. But this crisis, how do you manage it? Because this thing can limit, you know, if you don't have a degree, you cannot do your master's. If you cannot do your master's, you cannot do your PhD. This thing can limit you. So what do you have to do to rectify this issue? You know, and when he said it, I remember I looked at him and I said, Daddy, I said, I didn't go to this university for certificate. I went to learn how to be the best of myself. And if I have not learned that by now, then I don't deserve a certificate. If all the grades that you see, when they send my transcript, and my mom will bring it to you, if all those grades are true, that I'm a consistent A student, it therefore means that I have an A brain. That therefore means that I will succeed in life. Nothing can stop me. But I was shocked. Because he was thinking that I would tell him to follow me to school, to come and appeal to the school authority, to come and whatever. But that wasn't my thinking. I was 100% convinced that if I had the ability to produce excellent results that gave me an all A result consistently for 4 years, it means that I had an excellent brain, which means I have a super intelligent mind, which means therefore that I will master life. I had no doubt about it. I will tame life. I will ride upon this wind and I will ride it and succeed. I was 100% convinced of that. I would never make an excuse. I refuse to make an excuse. So it therefore, I find it in somehow when I meet people who will tell me, hey, I made the third class. So because of that, I couldn't get a good job. I couldn't relate. That was no way for me to relate with that. I'll tell them, well, these are the things I told myself at the time. I grew up in Ibadan. So I told myself, I said, there's a guy called Obisere. He was not a born again Christian. He was singing Fuji, became rich. There's one guy called Barista, was singing Fuji, didn't go to school, even got an honorary doctorate degree. Was even calling himself Dr. Sikiwa Ayinde. He didn't go to school. He became rich. He became successful. There's one called Sonia Ade. There's one called Ake Dairo. All the musicians I know, none of them did PhD. None of them did masters. Maybe at best, maybe they will have first degree. And all of them are doing well in life. Okay, if I didn't go to school, does that mean that I will not be a failure? These are my ponderings. Wow, my ponderings years ago. Because I had to reverse engineer my thinking. How to step back and think and say to myself, come on, come on. Let's say you don't have a certificate and therefore you cannot get a job anywhere. Does that then mean that you are going to be, this will be your crippling excuse all your life? You cannot succeed in. See? A lot of believers, you allow things that have no power over you, but that they make him as if they have power over you to control you. I'll give you something. I had a friend, went to the US, couldn't get his papers, couldn't get his documentation, and he couldn't get a good job as a result of that. So he called me. He said, "Pravin, I couldn't get this. I couldn't get that." And he was lamenting, "I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that." In fact, I said, "He stop this. Stop this." I've always hated people who complain, who find 1 million words to say, "I am a failure." They use 500,000 words to say, "I cannot make it." And the thing is consistent in their mouth. They're always saying it. Everybody they can talk to, when they get on the phone with you, they will spend 2 hours. They will depress you because they will just be lamenting and lamenting and lamenting and lamenting. And that is not the way a Christian should be. A Christian's words are powerful. A Christian talks himself up. Apostle Paul said, the Holy Ghost builds us up. Sus. You know what it means by propping? It means that, you know, all those, what do they call this thing? They used to use hair to blow them. They will not stand. You see them at children's party. They will not stand. The wind will not blow them like this. They are empty, but the wind is inside them. It is the wind that would blow them up. These balloons, and they will make them in the shape of maybe a man or a Michelin or something. And then you will see that as long as the wind was blowing in it, it will stand. And then it will be moving with the wind. It cannot do anything apart from the wind. If the wind stops, it will go down. I said, this is who a Christian is. It is the wind that is inside of a Christian that bears him up, that pops him up. But if instead of helium, This Christian begins to put nonsense wind in himself. Oh, I'm a failure. My father did not do that. No, my mother did not do that. This thing did not do that. I said, oh, come on, shut up. Stop. The more you talk like this, the more you will not get it. I said, yes. Don't talk like this. I won't be anymore. So especially when you are talking to me, I'm not saying it only for you. I'm saying it for myself. It irritates me that somebody who is full of the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm nothing. I'm useless. It is not well with me. You know, my father did not send me to school. My mother sent to. When I begin to hear, I say, you are full of the Holy Spirit. So shut up. No excuse. You are the seed of success is in you. Say that. Say it to yourself. Say the seed of success is in me. Say it. Yeah. It is an eternal guarantee of dominion, the Holy Ghost. Eternal guarantee. Eternal. If you have the Holy Spirit and you fail, you have nothing to say to God. You cannot talk about degree. You cannot talk about family antecedents. You cannot say you are born black, yellow, green, Asia, white. You cannot say anything. A man who is full of the Holy Spirit, a woman who is full of the Holy Spirit, is guaranteed. The word says that he gives seed. It is the seed. The Holy Spirit is that seed. You are the sower. He gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to the sower. You are the seed. The Holy Spirit is the seed. You are the sower. So he has given you seed. You cannot say, I fail. You can't. It is not allowed. It is not allowed. You can't. You cannot. I am a success, which is why it is important that Christians learn how to prop up the wind. When you speak the right words, the wind props you up. When you speak the wrong words, you are like that balloon that the wind is now, they punctured it. So the wind will just be leaving it. The wind will just be leaving. The wind will be seeping out. The wind will be seeping out of it. And gradually it will just be going down until it is flat. But as long as the wind is coming into it, it will be up. Some of us have had the experience where you are driving a car. And as you are driving your car, they say you have a bad tire. So you will drive it for a while, then you quickly park it, somebody will pump it for you. It will go back up. It will defy the puncture. But you drive a little mile, it will go down again, then you pump it again until you get to where you are going. Well, again, that is the wind. That is who you are. The wind. You must therefore, a Christian talks himself up. You do not see the limitations. Grass does not see. If you want to build your house, grass will say, okay, you clear the grass, fine. You build your house, fine. The grass will be saying, one day this man will die, and I will take over this, my land that he took. I will take it over from him. And I'm telling you, as long as human beings are in that house and they are maintaining the house, the grass will be patient. But a day will come. A day will come. When people will move and that house will be left, the grass will take it over again. It is just the seed. The seed of greatness is in it. It cannot stop. You can stop. You can pause this movement. You can, but it will come back. Yeah, that is how a Christian thinks. This is how I think. So therefore, a Christian is not allowed to be given excuses. So this, my friend, I was talking about. I told him. I said, find yourself. Make yourself useful. This one, you just sit at home, you are eating your auntie's food, and then every day you are complaining. I said, no, make yourself useful. He said, how? I said, find something to do. You're in America. He said, find something to do. Find an avenue to be a blessing. Not, you don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to work for a dollar. That's not a Christian's thinking. A Christian should not wake up in the morning thinking, I'm working for naira, I'm working for a dollar, I'm going to punch in and punch out. A Christian that is thinking like that cannot work with the Spirit. A Christian wakes up in the morning thinking, I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm going to be a blessing today. In my place of work, I'm a blessing. Where I'm going to... And this guy said, okay, you'll find a way to be a blessing. So what did he do? He knew how to repair phones. So he went somewhere. They were selling shoes there and told the guy that, oh, can I set up a phone repair? Whatever I know how to do, I can do Android, I can do this. I said, oh, well, why not? And so he began to fix phones. He didn't have a license, he didn't have anything. He was doing it, they'll bring it to that person's house. People began to hear in church. that this person can fix for us. They will bring it. They will charge small money. They will bring it. They will charge small money until one day, the phone that they bought, there was a virus in it, and there was a very important information in that phone, and the information was so very vital. They didn't want anybody who would have access to that phone to divulge what is in it. So the phone was at home, and the wife of this man that was working with one of the federal government, whatever in America, took the phone, didn't just said, "Ah, this one is there, let me give it to brother," and then took the phone to this brother. This brother was the one that fixed the phone. When he finished fixing the phone, he checked this, gave it to the wife. Wife took it to him. The husband said, "Who fixed it?" They said, "This guy." He said, "Ah, I have to give him a job, otherwise he will die." He said, "I said the secrets in this phone, he has to sign, he has to be under our employment. No, he has to be employed with us. If he's not employed with our agency and all the things in this phone, we are nobody can guarantee that he didn't see the content. Nobody can guarantee that he will not tell others the content. He has." That was how they went to get this brother. A man who was dodging, "I don't have paper, I don't have paper." They brought him in for fixing one Android phone. He became an employment. They employed him, gave him, he signed on confidentiality agreement. He began to work in their tech space. What did I tell you again? That a Christian must find a way to dominate. He can be, he's like grass. He's like the seed of grass. He's not somebody that you can easily put down. As long as he finds a way to be useful, he will be found. If you are listening to me, you sit at home, you are paying for the whole month, but you have no room for to be a blessing. You're doing nothing. You're just praying, "God, I just did that, sitting on that applications and waiting for something. I'm waiting for that." That's not how a Christian thinks. A Christian does not wake up in the morning and be waiting that his fate is in the hand of somebody. I've never done it before. But I'll say, "Lord, please, this job, if I don't have it, my life is over." I will never. I'm a blessing. You wake up in the morning, you are a blessing. That is the way of the Christian. That is how a Christian thinks. He knows that when he's going out, the Holy Spirit is leading him, and that as he's a blessing, as he contacts people, and he's a blessing to people, he knows that that transaction is beyond money. Is beyond. It is him. It is him, the Christian, carrying his spirit and spreading it to other people, and they will then look at it and say, "Oh, this transaction I did with this person. Oh, when I touched him, my life got better. When he gave me cancer, my life got better. Oh, it was one that did this. It was one that did that. It wasn't the job. It was all these informal transactions that made Christians successful, that built up nation, that built up Christendom. Christianity was not built on a 9-to-5 job. It wasn't built on economy. It wasn't built on war. Christianity was built on human-to-human contact and interaction." Say that again. Christianity was built on what? Human-to-human interaction. People met people, made people's life better, and then made them Christians. That was how Christianity was formed. Christianity was not formed on military conquest. Islam was on military conquest. It was all formed on economic activity. From countries, capitalist countries were formed on economic activity. Christianity, the way of life of Christ, was formed and exists because of human to human interaction. A Christian who does not engage in human to human interaction cannot occupy, cannot dominate. You have to engage. You have to engage. You have to engage. A Christian, that's why Jesus Christ said that we pray in our closets and then we come out in the open. Jesus Christ was engaging in human to human interaction. At night, he would pray. During the day, he would engage in human to human interaction. It was in this engagement to human interaction. He started from the low level of Israel. He was talking to people like John, people like Andrew, people like Peter. Suddenly, you found that he was talking to Nicodemus. Suddenly, you found that he was having lunch, dinner in the house of Simeon. Suddenly you saw that a centurion was calling for him. Suddenly you saw that he was standing before the high priest. You would then notice that he began to climb the cadre of our society. As he engaged in human to human interaction. This is why Christians occupy. This is the power of Christianity in occupation. You must change that thinking that I don't have a job. I don't have this. Somebody is doing me. Somebody is biting me. No, 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 no. No, stop that. Stop that. You are a blessing. You have the wind of God in you. You have much to give. Therefore, give. It's all a Christian lives for. Waking up in the morning, I'm going to be a blessing today. You are not thinking of the dollar. As I'm going to my work, one of my sisters was selling food. Somebody came into our shop. Person has back pain. Many of you saw the video. The person has back pain. The person was a Muslim. He greeted the person. The person said, my back is paining me. I have pain. She said, can I pay with you? He was selling food. The man said, yes. He paid with her. Right there, the man was healed. We saw the video. The man was healed where she was selling food. And the man was a Muslim. And the man was like, oh, wow. Pain is gone. Wow. That is how to be a Christian. That is the human to human interaction. That is, so your job is an excuse. So many of us, we have placed our Christianity on the excuse. When we are praying, it is the excuse we are praying for. God, husband, human to human interaction. The Bible said Ruth had Naomi at home. Then she didn't sit at home with Naomi. Ruth went out to the field of Boaz, met with Boaz's men, greeted them well, showed them she was well born. She did not sleep around with all the harvesters. She did not mess herself around. The Bible says she would go there, she would glean. She would glean. And then when she gathered what she gleaned, she would take it home to Naomi. That these guys, one day, Boaz came to the farm. Boaz saw her. Boaz said, who is that lady? They said, she's a well-behaved woman. See, human to human interaction. She's a well-behaved woman. He comes and he takes care of her mother-in-law. And she's the only one. If not for her, that woman will have died. The woman is old. Her two sons are dead. But this woman should have gone to remarry. But she stayed with that woman and she's the one working. She's the one gleaning. She's the one doing all the work, making sure that woman has fire at night when it is cold, making sure she has food in her belly. This young lady, God bless her. She has been a blessing to mama. She has been a blessing to mama. And she's a Moabitess. She's not even from here. And she has a kind heart. And she has a good behavior. And when she comes here, she greets the men well. She does not insult anybody. She does not have bad behavior. The Bible said, Boaz heard all these things. And Boaz comes from him. He said, let her come. I've heard good things about you, young lady. Keep it up. Now, give her more food. Was that not in your Bible? Give her more food. She has come to glean, but now give it out of the harvest. Give it to her. Let her have more that you will take home to mama. Human to human interaction. This is Christianity. This is the secret of our blessing. This is the secret of our greatness. Not excuses. That girl should have given an excuse. She didn't. When she got to mama, she said, Mama said, you have so much, you brought in so much food today. Were you the only one that was gleaning? How can you come in with too many baskets? Said, the man that owned the farm gave me the man said I should give it to you that she knows that you are taking care of me, that God will bless you. The mama said, wow. Mama stepped out and mama went to ask, who is Boaz? They said, he's a rich man. He's the one that is in charge of. He has authority. Mama said, let me talk to this man. Maybe this man can help my daughter. Then the mama said, no. I will talk to Ruth. Ruth will behave. And Ruth went and did what mama said. And Ruth got her husband. But here today we have Christians. They sit in their room. They are seeing vision up and down. God said he's the one. The Holy Spirit said this. The Holy Spirit told me that is my husband. You must be joking. You must be joking like a joker. You will do human to human interaction. Behave yourself. Come out of the house. You go to this place. You see people. People will begin to say, that's my daughter. Is that your friend? That is how it is done. It is how we spread the gospel. Christianity is not an occupation. It is a lifestyle. It is how we have dominion. You must not forget the root of it, the essence of it. Don't sit around and talk, I don't have a job. No. You may be underemployed, but you are full of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you have something to give. I don't have my papers. Oh no, you are full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you should go about sharing tracts. I'm saying share yourself. It is not tract, it is self. It is not tract. Don't give people paper and say, come to our church. No, 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 no. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. When the early church was spreading the gospel, they were not sharing tracts. They were sharing themselves. You are the epistle. You go about to, ah, mama, how can I be of help? That is the life of a Christian. How can I be of help? How can I be of help? You are going at a train station. Somebody is using cane. Ah, you help her carry your bag. Good morning, ma. Sorry. Ah, the man said, this man is kind. And what's your number? That's how you make a friend. You are going, you see somebody that is blind. Oh, hi, can I help you? That is a Christian. That is how a Christian lives. That is our influence. Do not forget it. Do not isolate yourself from the reality of who we are in Christ. It is a human to human interaction. A human to human interaction. A human to human interaction. This is the path that gives us dominion over the world. Don't forget it. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You have everything it takes. This is the process by which we gain dominion. It is human to human interaction. You must not forget it. This is how we gain dominion. This is how you get to the top. You are always going to do it the way Jesus did it, through the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. The Lord give you seed, and the Lord give you dominion. The Lord raise for you champions, voices, strength in the place of weakness. The Lord raise for you advocates, people who speak to, fight for, and ensure that your cause is defended. The Lord raise for you defense where you are defenseless. The Lord raise for you joy where there is none. The Lord bring to you fulfillment on every side. In giving, your hand will always be on top. Your children will never lack. We will never know a better yesterday. The hand of the Lord is heavily upon you and has anointed you to do great and mighty things. You will have dominion. You have a resilient spirit. It's just for you to apply yourself. As you apply yourself, you will see dominion. You will gain dominion. You will have dominion. You will occupy. Faith shall be found when Christ comes. Glory to God for all he has done for us. We bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. Now, if I tell you that I didn't plan to teach what I taught, but I didn't speak just spoke through me, you will not believe, but it is the truth. For I bear in me the witness of Christ that I speak to you directly from him and not from a paper or from a previously conceived thought. So know that the Lord has spoken to you today and your dominion is sure as we put it to work. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout,
Glory!
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.